Blog Talk Radio.
This is the 21st century, and we need to redefine revolution. This planet needs a people's revolution, a humanist revolution. Revolution is not about bloodshed or about going to the mountains and fighting. We'll fight if we are forced to. But the fundamental goal of revolution must be peace. We need a revolution of the mind. We need a revolution of the heart. We need a revolution of the spirit. The power of people is stronger than any weapon. Weapons of mass love. It's not enough just to change the system. We need to change ourselves. We have got to make this world user-friendly. User-friendly. Are you ready to sacrifice to end world hunger? To sacrifice to end colonialism, to end neocolonialism, to end racism, to end sexism? Revolution means the end of exploitation. Revolution means respecting people from other cultures. Revolution is creative. Revolution means treating your mate as a friend and an equal. Revolution is sexy. Revolution means respecting and learning from your children. Revolution is beautiful. Revolution means
ladies and gentlemen. Today's air date is June 19th, 2018. Our subject matter tonight that we're talking about is the Atlanta child murders of 1979 through 1981. In addition to, it's come to my attention recently, there in the city of Chicago, is that a lot of our youth are missing there as well, too. And we want to give a very special shout out there to New Era Chicago on the great work of what they're doing trying to resolve this situation right here. Also, too, this is Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced tonight, coming to you from the San Joaquin Valley today here in June 19th of 2018. Also, too, we see we got one of our callers coming in, one of our featured commentators. We'll be bringing him on air very, very shortly. Also, too, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to briefly going to go over the Atlanta child murders as well, too, as we all know. Now, a lot of this I'm recalling from memory. I've lived through it in the late 1970s and through the early 1980s, where 23 of our youth were murdered in the city of Atlanta at that time. And also at that time, Maynard Jackson was the mayor of Atlanta, Georgia. And he was a graduate of Morehouse College. He was a lawyer by trade. And as we all know, that there was a guy by the name of Wayne Williams who was prosecuted for two of the murders, and he was convicted. And he was incarcerated, and then they disbanded the task force of the investigation as well. Also, we have another one of our featured callers and commentators calling in, and what we're going to do is bring them on air. Both the microphones are open there for Brother Isaiah and Sister Demacy. Good evening to y'all.
Peace. What's up, y'all? We live in
right,
direction. Hey, Queen.
How you doing out there?
Hey, Isaiah.
Oh. Hey,
okay.
Good.
Okay, so because as we all know, at the time during the Atlanta child murders, excuse me, is that a lot of these children, you know, were coming up missing, dead. Their bodies were found at various times, and also to these here went from children, you know, to young adults as well too. And what we're going to do here, ladies and gentlemen, is we're going to read some brief history right here. The Atlanta child murders in 1970 through 81 were a series of murders committed in the city of Atlanta, Georgia, and it was from the middle of 1979 till May of 1981, over a two-year period, at least 28 children, adolescents, and adults were killed. Now, Wayne Williams, who was a native of Atlanta, who was 23 years old at the time of the last murder, was arrested for and convicted of two of three adult murders and sentenced to two consecutive life terms. And then the police department subsequently have attributed a number of the child murders to Williams and closed the case, although he has not been tried or convicted in any of those cases. So before we start our discussion tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we want to give a shout out there to all the RBGs up there in the Pacific Northwest and the Tacoma, Seattle area, also two up there in the Portland, Oregon area. Also to shout out there to those in Panthertown as well, too, to all the RBGs up and down the I-5 all the way live on the West Coast. And we are definitely giving New Era Chicago their respect, is because I've been seeing a series of videos of what they're doing, is where they're going out there trying to find out what's going on to a lot of our missing young people, you know, that are going on there in Chicago. And this is why we are talking about the Atlanta child murders as well, too. Now, from what I understand on the research that I've done here, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of the victims were beaten and bludgeoned. And also, too, in some of the investigations, it was described that it was at least, you know, two or more attackers, you know, that had killed these young people, you know, and these children way back then. Also, too, as we stated in our press tonight, is this here conspiracy harvesting our organs from information that we've been coming across, you know, for the last couple of years on that as well, too. Is this genocide? Okay, once again, you had it back then, now you got it going on there in Chicago. And then also, too, a lot of the organs have been missing, and a lot of our young people, you know, who have been listed as missing, and then, you know, they too come up, you know, where the organs are missing, you know, hearts, kidneys, lungs, you know, things of this nature right here. Okay, so, yeah, so therefore we're going to turn it over to you, Isaiah, and to Mason. And what is your intake on this, and what is your input?
This is the first time I heard about it. Like, this is, like, this is, like, crazy to me, man. Like, you said they, they were killing each other and taking... I'm taking the organs and everything. They've been doing that for years. They're taking our kids' organs and trying to sell them and stuff like on
right.
Like this shit is sick. Like this is so sick to me. Like it's
crazy. Yes, it's very sick, and it's very very diabolical. And yes, and they have been selling, you know, organs, major organs, from what I understand, on the black market too. You see, and then there was even a couple of cases years back down in UCLA where a couple of arrests had been made of people taking organs and body parts and selling them on the black market and what have you. And then in addition too, ladies and gentlemen, of how I've noticed over the last couple of decades of the systematic genocide that they're having going against us as well too, with these medications, with these foods, foul water, just like what's happening up there in Michigan and what have you, that New Era Detroit, you know, that they were addressing that issue right there. And any and all is welcome to give us a call here at 646-564-9630 and press 1 to speak live on the air here on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. And I'm your host and executive producer, along with our co-host and producer, the one and only Mad Dr. D from Southern California. But moving right along here, we also noticed, too, Isaiah, and you have commented on this, and you have commented on this here, too, Demacia, about how they systematically wish to exterminate and remove the image of the young, strong, you know, self-righteous, not self-righteous, but upstanding, you know, black male in the community. Then they have the damn audacity to wonder, you know, why the family unit is so shattered within the community. And this is that I've witnessed over the course of my lifetime, a trend that I've been seeing getting worse and worse every 10 years, generation after generation, within the last 40 years. It's because a lot of these imagery that we're seeing up there, you see what I mean? And then a lot of the subliminal suggestions that you're seeing there, you know, in the media and whatnot, it is just pretty much that they just want to go ahead.
Can I interrupt for a second? You know what would be a good idea for us to get up and protest in front of the congressional buildings, basically to ask them, do they really know what's going on?
Right.
What are you planning on doing about it?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We have to, like, and not necessarily be a protest, but a crowd of us from the Washington, D.C. area really need to go down there with picket signs, all kinds of signs, and make them get up off there. You know what I want to say. Off of their behind. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And address these issues, these murdering child, or murdering black people issues.
Exactly. Right, genocide. You see? That's what it is genocide. Now, get this here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just pulling up some information right here.
Well,
okay. Is this here, Isaiah? This, on the Atlanta child murders, okay? So, and the source of this information here is Wikipedia. Okay, in the middle of 1979, Edward Hope Smith, also known as Teddy, and Alfred Evans, also known as Q, both aged 14, disappeared 4 days apart. Okay, Terry Pugh, who later went missing in early 1981, lived in the same apartment as Smith, okay? Their bodies were both found on July 28th in a wooded area. Edward with a .22 caliber gunshot wound in his upper back, and they were believed to have been the first victims of the putative Atlanta child killer. Now, on September 4th, a 14-year-old by the name of Milton Harvey disappeared while on an errand to the bank for his mother, and he was on his 10-speed bike, which was found a week later in a remote area of Atlanta. And his body was not recovered until November 1979.
What?
Okay. All right. So they need children's organs as well. The child, when you say child members, you literally mean children, right?
And this is just the tip of the iceberg. You see what I'm saying?
I just need to swallow this. Hold on. So they are stealing child organs too?
That's the question. That's the question we're putting out there, you know, to our listeners, you know, to the general public, you know, that we're trying to get the feedback on.
I wouldn't put it past.
Okay, exactly. Okay. And then here we go with some more.
Go ahead, buddy.
Is that in October of the same year, 9-year-old Yusef Bell went to a store to buy snuff for a neighbor. Eula Birdsong, a witness, said she saw Yusef getting into a blue car before he disappeared. His body was found on November 8th in the abandoned E.P. Johnson Elementary School by a school janitor who was looking for a place to urinate. Bell's body was found clothed in the brown cutoff shorts he was last seen wearing, though they had a piece of masking tape stuck to them. He had been hit over the head twice, okay? Now, he's been hit over the head twice.
Masking tape
caused
was covering the hole in his body where his goddamn kidney got pulled out.
Who knows?
Stuff and what newspapers and shit, you know? That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Now, keep in mind, people, this here is damn near 40 years ago, okay? And from what I understand, what's currently going on there in the city of Chicago, do we have something similar going on here? And I did see a live feed on the Facebook from New Era Chicago where they are actively, the community, is taking part in investigation, is because, as we all know, the police don't give a damn about us coming up missing. So, you know, trying to do something themselves for ourselves, you know, for the community doing it. Now, but just
it's
keep in mind that this
duty.
Is...
Snacking
every
damn body and shit.
Okay, well, that's just it, though, sister. Who knows? You see, who knows? Now, on March 4th, now get this. Now, on March 4th, 1980, the first female victim, 12-year-old Angel Lanier, disappeared. She left her house around 4 p.m. wearing a denim outfit and was last seen at a friend's house watching the TV program Sanford and Son. Now, this is back in 1980. Her body was found 6 days later in a wooded, vacant lot along the camp, along Camp Belton Road, wearing the same clothes in which she had left home. A pair of white panties did not belong to Lanier, were stuffed in her mouth, and her hands were bound with an electrical cord. The cause of death was strangulation. So already right there, ladies and gentlemen, you could already see, just common sense will tell you this, that this is systematic, and this here definitely involves more than one person. Yes, sir.
Like, I'll tell you this, our people don't go missing. Somebody's kidnapping them. Like, people just don't go missing like that. I'm the same.
Right. Now, get this. 7 days later, a week after Ms. Lanier's disappearance, an 11-year-old Jeffrey Mathis disappeared while on an errand for his mother. He was wearing gray jogging pants, brown shoes, and a white and green shirt. Months later, a girl says she saw him get into a blue car with a light-skinned man and a dark-skinned man. The body of Jeffrey Mathis was found in a briar-covered patch of woodlands 11 months after he disappeared, by which time it was not possible to identify a cause of death. You see what I mean? So he was out there for damn near a year and was decomposed beyond recognition.
So they are trying to find him over a year, 7 months. Come on.
Yeah, right. That's just one of them. But see, but keep in mind is that you had an incident a week earlier. Before this, now, on May 18th of the same year, 1980, 14-year-old Eric Middlebrooks disappeared. He was last seen answering the telephone at home and then leaving in a hurry on his bicycle, taking with him a hammer to repair the bicycle. His body was found the next day to his bicycle in the rear garage of an Atlanta bar located next door to what was then the Georgia Department of Offender Rehabilitation. His pockets were turned inside out. His chest and arms had slight stab wounds, and the cause of death was blunt force trauma to the head. A few weeks before he disappeared, Middlebrooks had testified against three juveniles in a robbery case. In other words, people, see, this shit is not adding up.
Right.
I got a question. Are they slicing those children over that you're talking about right now? Are they slicing them open and taking organs?
From what information that we have right here, though, we don't see nothing to that
It doesn't say
that.
Okay.
Yeah, not that. But keep in mind, this is 1980.
I got you.
Okay.
These are just murder.
On June 9th, 12-year-old Christopher Richardson went missing on his way to a local pool. He was wearing blue shorts, a light blue shirt, and blue tennis shoes. His body was not found until the following January. Clothed in unfamiliar swim trunks, along with the body of a later victim, Earl Terrell. The cause of Richardson's death was not determined.
Whoa. See, man, that's what I tell you. We got to watch out. Like,
these are in Atlanta.
Yeah, this is in Atlanta. So,
something got going on down that bitch.
Right.
Yeah, this is back in 1980.
Right, like a lot of hostility down there. All them kidnappers and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, you see, this is 1980. You see, this shit is not adding up. You see? Say, so this, as you already see, people, is that our listeners are welcome to give us a call, particularly out of the Atlanta area and the Chicagoland area as well, too,
right.
At 646-564-9630. Yes, see? So definitely... Okay, so definitely on more than one or two occasions, we are hearing these stories of these children getting into vehicles with two or with one or more occupants. Now, here we go here. Now, on June 22nd, 7-year-old LaTanya Wilson disappeared from her parents' apartment. According to a witness, she appeared to have been abducted by two men, one of whom was seen climbing into the apartment window and then holding Wilson in his arms as he spoke to the other man in the parking lot. On October 18th, Wilson's body was found in a fenced-in area at the end of Verbena Street in Atlanta, Georgia. By then, the body had skeletonized, and no cause of death could be established.
Oh, my God.
The next day, June 23rd, 10-year-old Aaron Weiss disappeared after having been seen near a local grocery store get into a blue Chevrolet with either one or two black men. The witness's description of the car matched a description of a similar car implicated in the earlier Jeffrey Mathis disappearance. At 6 p.m., he was seen at a shopping center, Weiss, that is. The following day, Weiss's body was found under a bridge. The official cause of death was asphyxiation from a broken neck suffered in a fall. In July 1980, two more children, Anthony Carter and Earl Terrell, were murdered. Between August and November of 1980, five more killings took place. There were no known victims during December. All the victims were black children between the ages of 7 and 14, and most were asphyxiated, meaning strangled. The murders continued into 1981. The first known victim in the new year was Luby Gator, who disappeared January 3rd. Gator's body was found February 5th. Gator's friend, Terry Pugh, also went missing in January. An anonymous caller told the police where to find Pugh's body. In February, two more bodies occurred, believed to be linked to the others. In March, four more murders took place, including that of Eddie Duncan, the first adult victim. In April, Larry Rogers was murdered, as were the adult ex-convicts John Porter and Jimmy Ray Payne. After William Barrett went missing on May 16th, 1981, his body was found close to his home. The last victim added to the list was Nathaniel Carter, 27 years old.
Every time I go somewhere, people ask me, and you want to be an organ donor? I'll be like, no, forget that. Like, this
are you kidding me, Isaiah? Please give me an example of the place and the date.
No.
Said the last person approached you about that?
No, I'm just saying, like, when I go somewhere just trying to, like, just take care of some, like, some business stuff, so people just, you know,
Sometimes on paperwork that they pass out too.
In the state of California,
when you go to get your driver's license renewed, they ask you that shit. You know,
you
want to be an organ donor,
so
that you get wiped out.
Do you want to vote? Do you want to do the organ transplant? You want a heart transplant, organ donor, and all that?
Oh,
I'd be like,
my God. You are so right on. And, I skim past that stuff so fast, I forgot that shit is listed on legal documents and shit.
Yeah.
You are
Queen, y'all, we got to watch out because people be looking in our ID. On the notification stuff, they be looking.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We got all our information, all in every system in this goddamn country.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
If I'm just saying that if I'm suffering, like I'm having to one of us, and they will check it, like, he might be on, he or she might be a good organ donor. That's on the, that's going to get them.
Sure.
Yeah.
That ain't nothing but a trap.
Yep, that's right. That's why I'd be like, no,
That's exactly what it was, okay? And then also, too, recalling this here, you know, from memories, ladies and gentlemen, is that I do remember this case where it was in the news, and Maynard Jackson, who was the first black mayor of Atlanta, Georgia at the time, like I said in his biography, you know, he's a graduate of Morehouse College. He was an attorney by law at the time, and he was also the first black major of a major Southern United States city. So quite naturally, of course, at this time, this is like after the civil rights era, or what have you. So was it a lot of politics going on involved in here? Was this here the beginning of, like they say, is that, well, you know, racism doesn't exist today, but we clearly see that it does. You see what I mean? And then also, too, we want to go over here on his business here. What the case?
We got a lot of background noise. We got a lot of background noise. Can we fix that?
Yeah, we're going to go to there and take care of that there now. Okay, so. Mute people right here to see, you know, where it is coming from. Okay, I got both of you guys muted right now. I'm going to bring you back, okay? It appears it's coming out of a combination of both of them. So if you got background noise, you can put yourself on self-mute until you talk as well, too, you know, to limit the background noise. Okay, so what we're going to do here is we're going to read up here, you know, and deal and discuss, you know, the caption of the suspect, okay?
Are we still on mute?
No,
you're on the air now.
You're on the air.
But you can self-mute yourself on your device.
We're on the air.
We're on the air. Are you sure, sir?
Yes, we are.
Are we
on
the air?
We are on the air.
Now we're
live.
We're
on the air.
Let's get ready.
Yep. Okay, so anyway.
I love y'all. Y'all funny.
Yeah, reading up here, the catcher and the suspect, Wayne Williams. Okay, so therefore, as the media coverage of the case intensified, the FBI confidentially predicted that the killer might dump the next victim into a body of water to conceal any evidence. And it doesn't say here of how they got to that conclusion right here. Police staked out a dozen area bridges, including crossings of the Chattahoochee River during a stakeout on May 22nd of 81. And detectives got their first major break in the case when an officer heard a splash beneath a bridge. And another officer saw a white 19 Chevrolet station wagon turn around and drive back across the bridge. Okay. Two police cars later stopped the suspect's station wagon, and this is where they arrested the driver, Wayne Williams. And he's a supposedly music promoter and freelance photographer. Now, the car belonged to his parents. Now, dog hairs and fibers recovered from the rear of the vehicle were later used as evidence in the case against Williams, as similar fibers were found on some of the victims. They were found to match his dog and the carpet in his parents' house. During questioning, Williams said he was on his way to audition one Cheryl Johnson as a singer. Williams claimed she lived in a nearby town. And so then, getting back to it right here, is that, okay, so this is where they got Wayne Williams with the case. And then based on the evidence, the police officer is hearing of the splash, believed that Williams had killed Nathaniel Cade and disposed of his body while the police, you know, were nearby. Yes, say. So that's interesting right there, you see. So already, you know, it's already questionable. And then they said much of circumstantial evidence led the police to believe that Williams, you know, was the prime suspect. First, he was the only person stopped doing a month-long stakeout of 12 bridges. And he had stopped on the bridge immediately before the splash was heard. So according to the FBI special agent in charge, John Glover, at that time, Williams admitted to stopping his car, but claimed that he was dumping trash. Later during the trial, Williams would claim that he never stopped his car, but instead had turned around in an adjacent lot. Second, police noted that Williams' appearance resembled a composite sketch of the suspect, including a bushy afro sticking out from the sides of a baseball cap and a birthmark or a scar on his left cheek.
On his left cheek?
And then they said that he had had gloves and a 2-foot nylon cord sitting in the passenger seat next to him. According to investigators, the cord looks similar to marks found on Nathaniel Cater and other victims, but the cord was never taken into evidence for analysis. Very interesting right there. Very interesting right there.
They didn't take
so adding to a growing list of suspicious circumstances, Williams had handed out flyers in a predominantly black neighborhood calling for young people 11 to 21 to audition for his new singing group that he called Gemini.
Oh, my God.
Notably,
oh
Williams failed
God.
An FBI-administered polygraph examination, although polygraph results are no longer admissible as evidence in criminal courts because they're unreliable. This shit is frivolous, people.
Tell me about it. Sure. That's crazy, man.
You see. You know, yeah, so this is crazy.
Like on some of these stories are not adding up, like really. Like if they had the extension cords or what, trying to make people trying to think they commit suicide, like that is mad. He committed some suicide. No, he didn't. Somebody murdered and strangled him. That's why I'm not doing that's why I don't even trust the news like that, because they just blatant lies and putting to your heads and stuff. Like that is crazy.
And here's some very, very interesting stuff right here. I'm going to read a few more paragraphs of this, and then we're going to invite our callers to please give us a call at 646-564-9630, and please press 1 to speak live on the air on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, coming to you today, this Sunday, June 19th, 2018, from the San Joaquin County. From the Vic Valley. Okay. So with this circumstantial evidence leading to Wayne Williams' arrest and whatnot, and I do know is that there was a lot of impact on this case. It was definitely in the news, and it was definitely a high-profile case. All right, so that... getting back here to our reading, even more evidence seemed to implicate Williams. Fibers from a carpet in the Williams residence were found to match those observed on two of the victims. Additional fibers from the Williams' home, vehicles, and pet dog were later matched to fibers discovered on other victims. And furthermore, witness Robert Henry claimed to have seen Williams holding hands and walking with Nathaniel Cater on the night Cater is believed to have died. Williams was arrested. A grand jury indicted him for first-degree murder in the deaths of Nathaniel Cater and Jimmy Ray Payne, age 22. The trial date was set for early 1982. Now, FBI agent Johnny Douglas, who had previously conducted a widely reported interview with People magazine about profiling the killer as a young black man, has admitted that when the news of Williams' arrest was officially released, his status as a suspect had previously been leaked to the media. He stated that if it was Williams, then he was looking pretty good for a good percentage of the killings. This was widely reported across the media outlets as the FBI effectively declaring Williams guilty, and Douglas was officially censured by the director of the FBI. Okay, so therefore in the trial, jury selection began December 28, 1981, and lasted 6 days. The jury was composed of 9 women and 3 men, among them 8 African-Americans and 4 Caucasians. The trial officially began January 6, 1982, and Judge Clarence Cooper presiding. The most important evidence against Williams was the fiber analysis between the victims, Williams, who was indicted for, Jimmy Ray Payne and Nathaniel Kay, and the 12 pattern murder cases in which circumstantial evidence accumulated in the numerous links amongst the crimes. This included witnesses testifying to see Williams with the victims and some witnesses suggesting that he had solicited sexual faith.
Gotcha.
Okay. The prosecution's presentation of the case has been criticized to the extent that in some jurisdictions it might have resulted in a mistrial. In particular, two separate FBI special agents testified that the chances of the victims not having to come into contact with Williams was virtually impossible. Based only on the comparative rarity of the fibers on the victims that seemed to match the suspect's car at home. The Georgia Supreme Court Justice George C. Smith, after reviewing the case, deemed the evidence or lack of thereof inadmissible. On February 82, after 11 hours of deliberation, the jury found Wayne Williams guilty of the 2 murders. He was sentenced to 2 consecutive life terms in Georgia's Hancock State Prison. On May 6, 2005, now get this here, ladies and gentlemen, now here over 20 years later, the DeKalb County, Georgia Police Chief Lewis Graham ordered the reopening of the murder cases of 5 boys who were killed in DeKalb County between February and May of 81 that had been attributed to Williams. The police chief believed that Williams may have been innocent of these and other murders. The remaining cases are under the jurisdiction of Fulton County, Georgia, and those authorities considered their related murder cases closed with the arrest and trial of Williams. Now, the later developments and with this information that I got right here is 60 years old, Wayne Williams continues to maintain his innocence. In May of 2004, about 6 months after becoming the DeKalb County Police Chief in November 2004, Graham reopened the investigation into the deaths of the 5 DeKalb County victims, Aaron Weiss, 10, Curtis Walker, 13, Yusef Bell, 9, and William Barrett, 17, and Patrick Baltazar, 11. Graham, one of the original investigators in these cases, said he never believed Wayne Williams, the man convicted of 2 of the killings and blamed for 22 others, was guilty of any of them. In August of 2005, a journalist reported that Charles T. Sanders once praised the crimes and secretly recorded investigations, although Sanders did not claim responsibility for any of the deaths. Lawyers for Williams believed that the evidence will help their bid for a new trial for Williams. The police had investigated Sanders in relation to the murders, but dropped the probe into his and the Ku Klux Klan's as possible involvement. After Sanders was kept under close surveillance for 7 weeks, there were 4 more victims who killed. And after Sanders and 2 of his brothers volunteered for and passed lie detector tests. The criminal profiler, Johnny Douglas, said that while he believes that Williams committed many of the murders, he does not think that he committed all of them. Douglas added that he believes that law enforcement authorities have some idea who the other killers are. Cryptically adding, this isn't a single offender and the truth isn't pleasant. On June 21st, 2006, the DeKalb County Police dropped its reinvestigation for the Atlanta child murders after resigning. Graham was replaced by the acting chef, Nick Marinelli, who said we dredged up what we had and nothing has panned out. So until something does or additional evidence comes our way or there's forensic feedback from existing evidence, we will continue to pursue the other cold cases that within our reach. In January 2007, attorneys for the state of Georgia allowed DNA testing of the dog hair that was used to help to convict Williams. The decision was a response to a legal fling as part of Williams' efforts to appeal his conviction and life sentences. Williams' lawyers, Jack Martin, asked Fulton County Superior Court judge to allow DNA tests on canine and human hair and blood, stating the results might help Williams won a new trial. The DNA results tests were published about 6 months later, but they failed to exonerate Williams.
Interesting.
Wow. Yeah. Yep.
I don't know what to say, but so they have dropped from all the charges or something? So they drop it off?
No. From what I'm seeing here, he's still in jail there.
Hope that motherfucker died yesterday.
Yeah. There's no trust in the queen. You're going to die officially, though. They probably going to...
Well, but the question is, though, is this here part of some conspiracy? You know, did Williams do this on his own?
Of course it is.
Okay. But at the same token, you know, you might have the same thing might be going on in the city of Chicago.
Exactly. I mean, with the beast, don't be surprised.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not surprised by them at all the stuff they'd be doing to 500 centuries on us like this.
But then keep in mind, though, too, you had a case in Los Angeles in the 1980s as well, too, where a lot of black women had came up missing in South Central Los Angeles. On over like about a 2.5-year period as well, too, with their common first as the Southside Slayer case. From what I understand, you know, we have to research it and do your research. We're always going to suggest that. But from what I understand, they did make an arrest in it, and it was a police officer, from what I understand.
The pig.
From what I understand, But do your research on that. But, however, currently in this day and age and the current political climate of what you got going on here, you know, is it a wonder of why what's going on that's going on, you see? And currently, too, of how they're systematically having these questionable police killings, and then they try to tell us with this fake news and all this little type of nonsense is that, it doesn't exist. You know, race doesn't have anything to do with it.
You know, all that type of bullshit, you know.
Yeah, right. And this is definitely be an insult to our intelligence. You see what I mean? Right. And then when we emphasizing our self-sufficiency and becoming self-sufficient, say that again, Isaiah.
No, I'm just saying, you're right, brother, it's collusion and stuff. They're trying to make us seem like they don't know what they're talking about. The news don't know what they're talking about. World News, Fox News.
Oh, yes,
CNN,
of course.
They just want to play mind games with us, that's all. They're trying to make us believe to them and all the stuff that's been going on. Like, no, all this stuff. Like, this is a blatant lie.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I don't watch the news like that. So the news just all deadly to me. All that stuff, all the bullshit they're talking about. Like, it's, I maybe just want to turn my TV off and just lay back.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's because, you know, with all this garbage that they got coming out there, you see, and then particularly with our comes to our situations, anything dealing with our self-sufficiency, anything to upgrade us here as a people, economically, educationally, or commercially, you see, you know, they don't want to pay it no attention. And this is why I appreciate what Dr. Boyce Watkins does, you know, with his financial Juneteenth. And also, to definitely give a shout-out out there to our scholars, you know, for all the great work that they're doing. Feel free to drop knowledge in the Facebook groups, Pan-African Economics and Politics, Resurrection of the Mental Dead, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Also, to our group, Shabaka's Black Experience, and definitely go to our like page on Facebook, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced as well, too. And also, too, you could follow us on Twitter, at Shabaka, capital EXP, all one line. So as we're moving it on here now, ladies and gentlemen, looking back at the past and looking at it here in these contemporary times, when we see the current situation of what you got going on right here with the police killings, also, too, about how these officers are not being prosecuted. Now they're just killing us. As we stated earlier, too, that over there in the city of San Francisco, the five police officers that shot and killed Mario Woods there a few years back, you know, the district attorney of San Francisco County is not going to charge them, from what I understand, with any crime. Now, as far as politics is concerned.
I want to know is
Go ahead, Brother Isaiah.
Like, all I want to know, like, all them shoot, all the police be shooting at us and stuff. They always, they always getting them fired and stuff. Like, find those pigs, and they should be
put in jail. They should. They definitely should be put in jail and special circumstance their asses on it. You see what I mean? It's because here now they're supposed to go up here and take this oath to uphold the law.
Yeah,
and then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this here, too, here on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced as well, too, is that all these black politicians at the congressional level or at the municipal level, the black constituents should really start putting in some type of strings or some type of procedures and guidelines to hold these black politicians accountable, because I'm not going to say any names. But from what I understand, that in the U.S. Congress, I've heard congressional members sitting down and sitting on the floor of the U.S. Congress up here, you know, like Malcolm said over 50 years ago, sitting at the lunch counter begging for a cup of coffee. Also, too, a lot of them are not, you know, seeking out our interests predominantly, like how other groups of people, when they're elected to political office, the first thing that they would do is take care of the group economics, you know, of their people. They say, but we don't do this. So we definitely need to have, you know, a huge accountability for these black politicians, particularly at the local level. Now, what you can do at the local level is that they got something that they call recalls. You see what I mean? Okay, and you could use this measure more easily at the local level than you can at the state level, is because it costs a lot of revenue to have these recall campaigns. Now, the reason why I mention the recall, because California, when it had its last election, June the 6th, they had recalled the judge over there in Santa Clara County that gave a life sentence to the Stanford swimmer. He gave him a life sentence for raping of a woman. And so what the people did is that they recalled the judge and they got rid of his ass with the recall. Yes, and keep in mind, he was the first judge to be recalled in the state of California since 1932.
Well, how does that work? How does the recall work?
How does the recall work? Okay, well, what you would have to do is you would have to Yeah, I think you follow various codes. There's a state administrative code or recall petition code and what have you. There's a certain structure and procedure that you go through that you file paperwork
yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's what
and
I was saying.
Yeah, and you submit it to either
the
state attorney general.
What did you say,
no, from
do
what
you
I understand is that you got to fill out paperwork on it.
Fill, yeah,
and,
yeah.
Oh, you file paperwork.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yes,
I got you.
So, okay, now what has happened, too, is that I noticed with the current political fervor that's going on, it is definitely even more essential, you know, that we take care of ourselves is because I noticed that when I was on a commuter train yesterday, you know, in the Bay Area, and it was during rush hour, and all these people that I'm seeing, you know, are these other groups of people and not our people.
Yeah.
Coming over wearing the business suits with the laptops, with all the cell phones and all that good shit. And as we all know, that there's the cradle of Silicon Valley, the Bay Area. Right. But the point is what I'm making at. Oh, yeah. But the point is that what I'm making at is that here with their group economics is that they bring themselves up together, right? But we on a collective basis, we still going out here dealing with bullshit, and I'm just going to be real about it.
What kind of bullshit? Be specific for me.
One is an educational system. You know, cooperative economics is not emphasized to our children. Innovation is not emphasized to our children.
That we've mentioned too
is that in the curriculum here in the state public schools of California, they're coming across, you know, with this altered lifestyle teaching to our elementary school children.
That is crazy.
And then somebody had went out here and made the statement that I've checked out that made a lot of sense of saying that there is a political, well, that there's a current mainstream organization, and I'm not going to say its name, but it's very popular, but they out there concerned with every other cause except for that of heterosexual black males.
Yeah, they always want grading our black kings and turn them to females and shit like that.
Yeah, we're trying to effeminize them. That's the basic point that what I'm making right there, brother, is that they're placing greater emphasis on it now to effeminize black males or the image of black males. And you don't have the positive, strong black male image in the home. And this is why the youth is without the proper guidance. You say, you know, this is some major, serious issues that we have in a community, single female households and whatnot.
Right. And we need a strong black man in the house.
Well, what it is for this to come about, in my opinion, is that we got to get the homeschooling going on, and get some damn innovation going on, and we as a people need to become producers and quit being consumers. Yes, is because, like I said, over there in Silicon Valley, that is $1 trillion industries that you see over there, and you should see all the damn wealth that they got going on over there. They're building a new damn skyscraper on every corner in San Francisco, you know, every day.
I believe
same thing with Oakland.
They're burning down trees. They burning down trees and making money for themselves every day too.
And
so don't forget
what's
that. They always going to be one up. Right. They will always be one up in the economy on us.
Right.
Always.
They always want to be at the top. They
the
will always want to be at
the
top.
Rule
the
world. What they do and their privilege because they got out there.
And
they stole everything
and try and
on
make it
the
their
planet,
own.
And they took it over.
Right.
They're trying to make it their own.
What it is that social media is a $1 trillion industry. I'm talking about people. I know those in the 510 and the 415 and what have you in the Bay Area. They're making so much damn money up over there. It's stupid. Now, black people, what is our problem? You see what I'm saying? It's because
we
the main ones here. We
did not come
money.
Out the cave. We're not cave beasts, so we don't roll like they roll.
Right.
You understand where I'm coming from?
Exactly. Put that on.
Oh, yes,
if we came out from from them caves, I'm going to tell you something. If we came out from the cave as beasts from and developing the humans from the hydrogen or whatever is on the wall in the cave, we'd probably be richer than them.
I feel you. But I'm saying was we need to stick together.
So
we need to come,
it is
we need to come
what
a plan.
It is.
We need to make a
it
plan.
It is what it is. If we can come together as one people and decide to open some businesses or whatever, we'll still be under their regime.
That's right. Let's try it anyway.
Okay. But however, though, is
let's
that what
it.
We have to do is Okay, but what we have to do, sister, is that we have to control our economical resources.
We need to make a plan.
First, we have to make a plan, pull our resources together, and do it.
And you see, other people be coming together, but how come, and not us coming together? That is crazy.
Because we were torn apart. We were torn apart by the cave beast.
You're right about that, sister, on that plantation system. Now, let me say this here, too, ladies and gentlemen. People are welcome to call in on this, is because I've been hearing a lot of commentary, mainstream media, about these children separated from their parents with this immigration stuff that's going on, and everybody's raising hell about that. But, however, I have to bring up the fact that we're looking at
how did that happen?
Also,
please tell me.
What happened?
The
Queen,
children being taken away from the adults. They still here, but the adults gone.
Because they are sick.
But the adults have been deported back to Mexico or arrested. For violating immigration laws. The thing is that we have to comment on people. Okay, the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, that we have to comment on here too. And I want to spend our last few minutes talking about this. They're talking about in mainstream media about how bad it is about these parents being separated from their children. Now let's look at the fact: for over 275 years, of all the black children that was separated indefinitely from their parents and loved ones on the damn plantation system.
Right.
Hello.
And this type of shit still affects us as a people today. This is why our family unit is shattered. This is why we got to homeschool our own children
and
to bring back the value system of our black family.
Check out. Nobody gave a care.
There was no regard on the quality of life of the slave.
They love to destroy the black family. That's what they do. They always want to
learn. Most definitely.
They always want to learn. I've been saying, like, why we cannot get together like this? And I know why, because them crackers always keep on being nosy. And I think,
syndrome. It's a syndrome, Isaiah. It's a syndrome. We got to snap about us.
It's
the post-traumatic slave syndrome along with cognitive dissonance. Mm-hmm. And then here, when you sit up here and try to talk to these brain-dead, crooked-ass politicians,
as if you
try to sit up there and piss on your head and tell you it's rain and defecate on you and telling you it's snow. See, that's the damn problem. And another thing, too, folks,
is that black politicians always want to come to our support
and take our support for granted when it comes to election time, right? So what we need to do is start holding these black politicians at the federal, state, local levels for each time that the police go out here and murder us and they come up to us with his ass scratching, Uncle Remus ass shit right there, then they should be brought up on charges for failure to give us equal protection under the law.
Now, this is the hypocrisy of what their laws say.
Yeah. See, this is the shit of what these white people say. See, this is the stuff that you all sat up there and swore to uphold and spit on your own culture and heritage, but you won't sit up here and beg your Lord. So let's use the same damn game against you that every damn time that when these murdering bastards go out here with the Blue Klux Klan and murder our people at the local level, and you don't go out there and give us fair equal protection, your ass need to be tried for failure to give us equal protection under the law.
If we are citizens,
as opposed to what they ruled in the Dred Scott case, and it's a direct quote: "Hey, those of African descent were never intended to be citizens or to get the protections of the U.S. Constitution."
Hello?
We are the original people.
You feel me?
Yeah, we are the original people.
No, sir, brother Isaiah. No, sir, brother Isaiah. The crux of the matter is what I'm saying is that the damn you white United States government told you that we don't have no regard for your black ass, and we don't give a damn what state you went into, free or non-free. You still are our property. You're still less than. Yes, say.
Come on.
This is what the ethos is. You see what I mean? And then anytime that when we try to do something about this, and then we're labeled all of a sudden as criminals and what have you, and then when we try to go up here and exercise the quote-unquote constitutional rights, then you hypocrites want to sit up there and call us a bunch of terrorists. I see we got a caller here from area code 918, and we're going to unmute them. And let them come on there and comment a little bit there. Okay, so that there's our caller from area code 918, last 42630. Yeah, what's your comments, questions, and concerns?
I'm just listening in my car, so you're going to get some feedback. Just put me back on mute.
Okay. All right. But thank you so very, very much for joining us. And please share the show as well, too. Okay, folks, we're getting right back here, bringing in, you know, our guest commentators. And once again, you're listening to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Our air date here is June 19th, 2018, and we're coming to you from San Joaquin County, California. But as we were saying right here, ladies and gentlemen, you know, as we saw with the systematic genocide, in my opinion, of the Atlanta child murders, of what you got going on with these films that they made about, was that the colors being hidden or something like that, of how they systematically taking out organs and experimenting on us, okay, and then how they're hitting us with these police killings, you see what I mean, and then, of course, with all these officers being systematically not even charged with it, these are state-sanctioned murders, period, you see, and then we're going to
fire politicians. Suspicion, and they just fire them or put them on suspicion for 30 days, like they need to.
Exactly. And then they put them on paid administrative leave. Now, here's this. Now, get this, people.
Hello?
They put them on paid administrative leave. So just like with the police departments evolved from, they evolved, ladies and gentlemen, from bounty hunters and from slave patrollers. That's basically what the bounty hunters
hired assassins.
They put a bounty
They are race soldiers.
Pretty much, yes. Yes, sir, exactly. That's exactly what they are.
So you telling me those race soldiers actually get paid by killing us? What the fuck?
Okay, well, let's look at it. Okay, they go on paid administrative leave. And then also, too, with who is that? Darren Wilson and another one of those cops, that coward Geronimo Hernandez that murdered Mr. Castile. White people set up GoFundMe pages for him. $5, $6, $7, $8 million. There's
a bounty right there. Right.
You see what I'm saying? There's your bounty. There's your bounty. And then, like with the situation down at the Waffle House. Yeah, let me comment there on the Waffle House. Why the hell is anybody going down there to the Waffle House?
I'm foolish. That's crazy.
You see what I'm saying?
Cognitive dissonance. Please explain that to me one more time.
Okay, from what I understand is that cognitive dissonance is that you got a core belief so hard is that when logic or proof goes contrary, you will still stand with it. Case in point, we all know that even in this war part of the galaxy, 2 + 2 = 4. The Negro who is brain dead and with cognitive dissonance with his ass scratching Uncle Tom ass will sit up there and tell you, oh, 2 + 2 = 5. 2 + 2 = 3.
And then
the sad part about it is that he will sit up there and try to reason, try to rationalize, and try to get you to believe that bullshit. So once again, they pissing on you, telling you that it is rain. They shitting on you, telling you that it is snow. That is cognitive dissonance, in my opinion, from my interpretation of it. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
The same thing with these politicians. Just like that Negro Sheriff Clark. All police brutality doesn't exist. Just like the brain dead Dr. Ben Carson. Oh, well, the slaves came here and immigrants right here looking for whatever type of bullshit that he was saying. He's probably prescribing himself his own damn dope. You see what I'm saying? To sit up there to insult our intelligence with the audacity to come up there with something so
Like I said, though, Dr. Ben be taking his own medication from time to time. He be taking those coon pills.
Oh, yeah, for sure, without a doubt. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we got a comment. One of our, from the last 42637 from area code 918, would like to comment. How you doing? Welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. What's your name and where you calling from?
You and the air.
Well, I'm calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. My name's Angela. But
oh,
have you guys
going,
ever
Angela?
Heard, it's been a busy week, but I had a question, and maybe you've heard of it, maybe you haven't. Have you heard of the Royal Order of the Jesters? This would be with the police or the sheriff department, part of the Masons, but there's an order of it. It's called Royal Order of the Jesters. If you can find it in your local area, you'll find out a lot of information. I found the cake maker. That's how I found them in my area.
Okay.
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 Have you heard of them?
To the best of my knowledge, I haven't came across them, no.
No, I haven't either, Queen.
Well, this order is usually white. Definitely a white group. I haven't found any part of that group that is of any color. No, other than pasty white. It's a problem. You know, they have this internal structure in a lot of these cities.
Right.
It's a problem.
Exactly.
It's systematic.
Yeah, I heard.
I was just curious.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
It sounds like you're pretty knowledgeable.
Yeah, I heard.
It's because as we all know, is that your modern-day police departments evolved from bounty hunters and slave catchers. Now, when you look at the Dred Scott case, that led to the Fugitive Slave Act of 1857. Now, why is this important to remember? During the gold rush here in California, you had a lot of white Southerners who came here and brought their slaves to tote that bar and lift that bale of going up there into the mountains up there in the gold country and hauling material up there, pickaxes, equipment, what have you, living off the land, going through it, then, of course, the rigors of the actual mining itself. But when California became a state in 1849, its state constitution had outlawed slavery here. Now, what is the significance of this? So when the slaves that came into California at that time, technically that they were free. Now, with the Fugitive Slave Act of 1857, which was a federal law, this allowed the marshals, bounty hunters, to go across state lines from Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia, to go to Nevada, California, Illinois, Maine, to go recover runaway slaves and return them back, you know, to their owners as property, and only Lord knows of what happened to them when
human
they got back
beings.
To the
human
plantation
beings.
System of the bizarre treatment that they would receive at the behest of their slave owners. Now, the police departments, as the Industrial Revolution was coming along, particularly out here in California, what they referred to as the Barbary Coast, and we did talk about it briefly, of all this debauchery that they had going on at that time of coming into San Francisco Bay. As, of course, they were brutal, you know, to our people. We were still viewed upon as subhuman, and then, of course, supposedly after these 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments.
Break it down, right.
Yeah. Then you had Klux Klan come about, you know, preventing black people from so-called called exercising their rights and what have you, which was a terrorist organization. Then, of course, that the FBI itself has stated a few years back is that they had a lot of white supremacists infiltrate the major police departments, you know, federal agencies, law enforcement agencies, and what have you. And personally, I'm of the opinion that it is always been like that. Just look at how these damn institutions evolved. So in the ethos of these institutions, quite naturally, there is very, very low regard for black life, even from what I've witnessed by the so-called black police officer or the neo-colonist,
no,
as others, you know, about people would say.
About the coon cop.
You see?
I cannot say.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, most definitely. And then, of course, just like with this mayor of down in this southern town in Carolina where the police had choked out this young black man at a place called Waffle House, my question is, why the hell is everybody still going to Waffle House? Damn Waffle House. Hit them where it hurts, in the pocketbook.
It's bad food anyway.
You see, hit them where it hurts, you know, in the pocketbook. You see what I mean? We got
to
become innovative of developing our own businesses and infrastructures, you know, to support ourselves. And then we're putting our own people back to work. And then also, too, here in the state of California, off of recent research that I've done on the expansion of the homelessness and how bad it has grown in the Bay Area and in Los Angeles with all this gentrification. And then the cold part about it is that we as a people make up more than over 50% of it. Say,
damn.
You see what I mean?
So the
bad part about that is that if we would have had, you know, our innovative skills going on and of the mindset of being innovators, you see, this here
would
come
we
up with some type of development.
We get stopped today.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, please continue.
Go ahead, Queen.
But what I'm just saying, though, is that with the mindset and in these public indoctrination centers called public schools, see, our youth are not taught to be innovators. You see what I mean? They just got them trained to be robots and take orders and to groom them from going out of the elementary school system or into the public school system into the prison industrial complex.
The white school system ain't no black one. The public school is my own. Well, we need to start homeschooling our kids anyway.
But like I've said, stated before, we're only 150 years out of slavery, which is very old for a person, but still very, very young.
We still in
a
slavery.
That's true.
you know, you got to get that mental shackle off. You see?
Got
to get that mental shackle off.
And
that's the worst form of it right there.
Right.
You see?
Yeah, we like we
the worst form of it.
Yeah, we are mental in slavery. Way back, was some physical slavery. Now this right here, mental slavery. So you're right about that. Go ahead, brother.
Well, you see, as it was commonplace on the plantation system, you know the. You know, the slave always knew his place. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, with that boss we sick shit. You see?
Right.
So,
like,
you know, it was never expected.
Right, like,
and it was never expected of him.
Right.
You know, to be regarded as any kind of man or what have you. You see, just a slave, you see? And it was designed that way.
Right, they didn't treat us as that we were humans. They treat us like we was animals, like, even though we're not.
But I'm going to tell you, the racism is prevalent. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And in action to this day.
Oh yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, but you see, but that's just it, though, sister. Not only is it prevalent, you see, but however, deal with the Stockholm syndrome, the post-traumatic slave syndrome.
Right.
Okay, the majority of our people are not even aware of it.
I know, and, that,
and the
yes,
cognitive
exactly.
and the cognitive dissonance.
That's right.
And, they say, and the cognitive and
well,
the
people
cognitive
who don't
dissonance.
Know.
Right, they're so
yeah,
in
right.
denial. Every time when I say something, they point to me as, "Oh my God, you're a racist. You're supposed to love everybody." Like, motherfucker.
Yeah, you see, well, as far as I'm concerned, there's no such thing as
everybody.
A black racist in the United States is because we don't control no police department.
Exactly.
We don't control
right.
no banks.
Nope.
We don't control
right.
no
mm-hmm.
infrastructures, no industry, no power plants,
exactly.
no water plants, no major economical
no
factors,
schools.
No banks, financial
like
institutions,
no
schools, or anything like that.
No
so we don't nope. control any institutions to implement any
home.
Type of racism.
And don't forget about
and for
home.
Those,
exactly.
you know,
too.
You know, got
that's
something to say
good.
About it, please give us a
Isaiah,
call at
646-564-9630
and let's have a conversation about it. You see? Yeah, no, that's what you tell me. I mean, let's look at the stuff we just reviewed right here about the Atlanta child murders. You see?
Yeah.
You know? See?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
Right.
Yeah,
more
bad.
Murders
it's
than that.
Bad.
When I think about current murders, all of it, it's all lumped together, all the way back from the beginning.
You're right, right.
It's all
well,
the same. Nothing has changed. Nothing.
Nothing has changed. It's only
it is current. It is current, and it's still going on.
That's
the
right.
same garbage.
Yeah, it's like it repeats itself over and over again. The only thing it's chasing is the year, then that's it. And
that's
time
it.
Is
that's
right.
all.
Yep.
Right. But also, too, ladies and gentlemen, you know, let's go back here, you know, as we're in our last 15 minutes, just to talk about, you know, what's happening that I've been seeing in the mainstream media about these children at these immigration detention centers separated from their parents.
The immigration issue.
Yeah.
Okay, no. You have a lot of children that the immigration people are holding on to, okay, down in
yes,
Texas.
Yes, I know.
From what
can
I've
you
seen.
Please talk about that? I don't understand how they took them children
this.
Away from their parents.
Yeah.
Okay, well, from what I understand, you know, is procedures by the Trump regime and Jeff Sessions is that the parents were either arrested on crimes or what have you. Maybe they sent the children here themselves, you know, crossing the border illegally and whatnot. Then they talk about the problems that these children are going through, which they are, and it's pretty bad for them. But at the same token that I have to agree with what I've been seeing a lot of people have been telling me on Facebook, well, what about all the black families that were separated during the transatlantic slave trade?
Mm-hmm.
You know, parents separated indefinitely from their infants. You see what I mean?
Yep.
And whatnot. You know.
So history is repeating itself,
by the way.
Yeah, basically it is, Queen.
History is repeating itself.
Yep.
How can you just
oh,
take
yeah.
parents away from their children? What?
I know.
Okay.
But what I'm saying, though, sister, is that this current time in history that we as a people, okay, we have to focus on ourselves is because we as a people are in a state of emergency and we cannot do shit for anybody else until we do for ourselves. That's my opinion. And people are welcome to call
I was only asking
in.
A question,
Thank
talking
you.
About what happened to the children and with their parents coming across the border. How in the world can you just take the children, just lock up the parents,
mm-hmm.
and be responsible for the children in any decent kind of way.
Yeah,
right. You see, and then, of course, who knows what type of vulnerability that these children will be being away from their parents in these conditions. But at the same
those
token,
children
let's
will
look
come
at how
out of this with a syndrome. They will be messed up the rest of their lives behind this.
Okay, now we're not black children messed up for the rest of their lives behind what they went through doing on the slave plantation system, being taken away from their parents.
God,
of course
yes.
They will
and guess
be.
What?
Okay,
I'm
of
messed
course
up
you
behind,
will be.
I'm
You're
messed
right
up
about
behind
that.
This slavery bullshit. The whole fucking world bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm tired of this shit. Now they out here fucking with children.
That's what they
Come
do.
Come on now.
That's crazy, ain't it, Queen?
What the fuck is this year?
This 2018,
shit
from what I understand.
And they don't
Hello?
Care. And they don't care. They don't care
fuck
if it's 2022. Does it? Because if it be 2022, they still gonna be doing the same shit. Like this madness, man.
Okay, well, once again, as we're stated for, is that we got to implement some programs going on with our community that I've seen across the network. There's been various organizations from New Orleans to New York City and on the East Coast of doing some self-empowerment of educating our youth, you see. So hopefully some seeds get planted right there, you know, to change this here around. It's because, see, this is a very, very severe crisis that we are in as a
Absolutely.
People.
Absolutely.
And then the sad part about it is that due to the Stockholm Syndrome and cognitive dissonance, that there's pretty much is the common lock and key on us right there.
Right.
See?
Time for
because
us.
As soon as somebody talks about, as soon as somebody, you know, amongst us come around and talk about, hey, let's be sufficient, or do for ourselves in the mainstream media, then they get these sellouts and these ass scratches that sit up there and
crumb
on somebody that's trying to do the right thing for the community. And we're not going to say any names on our show, but there's a certain amount of these sellout ass scratchers, Uncle Toms and Coonettes that's got some platform. reinforcing that white supremacist bullshit, you see, and we have to turn our back on them.
Right.
Straight out on them. It's because, like I said, every damn time when I go up there through the Bay Area and I see all these other groups of people making all this social media money, and our people are only making 3% of that workforce, and then the majority of I see of our people out here, or the majority of the people that I see homeless out here on the streets, are black. Something is wrong with that scenario.
Yeah, you're right about the gentrification. I'd be seeing that stuff down here in the East Coast too. It's gentrification.
Oh yeah,
everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. They got it going on in Baltimore. They got it going on in Chicago. South, from what I'm understanding. And keep in mind is that there's a lot of these people, you know, these other groups coming from these other nations to the U.S. that is buying up all this property, and they're moving their own families in there and putting them in work. See, that was the point that I was making at when I ride that Bay Area Rapid Transit in the Bay Area. That's all I'm seeing. All the business suits, professionals,
well,
out those social media
why.
Businesses, you
because
see what I'm saying? Yeah, why?
I'm going to tell you why. Because they are preferred to get those grants for their businesses and their homes. They shit on
us. Oh, yeah, of course.
That's
absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That's why every time I went up there, every time when I be going down to my block, all I see is the Asian on the convenience stores
right,
and all
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Please,
they
just like everybody in this motherfucker and set them up. That's
right.
What it is.
Right, exactly. Well, you see, that's why I appreciate what New Era Chicago does, is because they've been addressing that issue there in Chicago on the south side, is where
okay.
a lot of these business owners, you know, who are disrespectful to members of the black community, they just went up there and they just posted up around it with the RBGs up. Hey, ain't nobody shopping here. You see what I'm saying?
Right. I
That's
got
it.
You.
And
I
then they refer
you.
To the black
yep.
business where to go to on that, you know, hey, and they within their legal rights to go up there and do it. But see, but what we got to do is, this is why we need the innovators to rebuild up the infrastructures. You see what I'm saying? And that there is only through the educational system right there. And this is why we got to homeschool the kids, is because, as we stated before many, many times, okay, that when our kids go to schools in inner cities, the only thing that they're groomed for is to go out there to be productive for another group of people and not their own. And in fact, they're taught the exact opposite of not to be productive for their own. And then you're sitting up here wondering 25, 30 years later, after this damn so-called civil rights bullshit, about why we are moving backwards. You see,
that's
even
right.
X told you that there when it was going down.
Yep.
Just like all those black businesses down there with the Black Wall Street and the black communities in the South that had thrived, you know, where you had black professionals, black grocery stores, black manufacturers, black tradesmen and what have you. Yeah, before you got infiltrated with that integrational shit, and then what has happened is it caused all your revenue and all your economical infrastructure to go out of the community. So therefore, your program through its educational system, I got to go spend my money there with the oppressor just to be considered equal, when you ought to be telling him to kiss your ass. Why not get equal with his on the economical and business platform and compete with him on that? Then that's when you're equal. Not going giving the oppressor your money. Not going up there banking with them. Yes, so therefore, the only way that this could happen is you got to have some black investment, innovation, and and regard for yourselves, you see. And this business here with the National Football League, up here talking about it. We got our last 5 minutes right here. But the National Football League talking about, the players got to stay in the locker room if they don't want to salute the flag. What I say that every damn player in the NFL, you know, say, don't show up that day. And then out here in Oakland where the Golden State Warriors went out there, I did a live feed from there. The only reason I went because they said they wasn't going to go see Trump. You see? That's the only reason why I went out there. No, because we contribute to the wealth of professional sports. See? So let's boycott it. Let's flex the economical power of it and don't participate in that shit and let them feel the economical crunch.
Don't wash it.
That's right.
Turn it off.
That's right.
So don't watch it. Don't buy none of the official licensed products. You see what I'm saying? Yep. Do the same damn thing
the
with the sponsors.
Turn the TV off and read the book, y'all.
And then do the same thing with the sponsors that buy sponsorships and commercials on it for the NFL and the damn NBA.
Yeah, I've been saying that shit.
Hit them where it hurts.
I'm like, this is too much advertisement for the sports. All they do is
And we could do the same damn thing with this social media bullshit.
Yep, turn it off.
You see?
And the social media is not really not for us anyway. All they do is make us look bad and cause all kinds of names and shit. Like Doc said, just turn it off.
Because social media don't have no regard for us. You see? And tell us, when the race soldiers kill us, it has nothing to do about
race. I know. That's crazy.
And then we sit up there talking about becoming self-sufficient and doing for ourselves, you guys are black racists. Once again, sitting on your head telling you it's right.
Right.
Sitting on your head and telling you it's right.
Real clean.
They need to cut that shit out.
And then you would have bullshit like Barbecue Becky over there in Oakland making a false police report about black people barbecuing in a park. That's a black man's life in jeopardy right there in that area when the race soldiers came out. You see what
I'm trying to
sit up there and say racism don't exist. Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're signing off here from San Joaquin County, California. Sister Demacy, Brother Isaiah, you guys got any closing arguments?
Nothing.
I'm done. I mean, closing statements, not arguments. I'm just sorry.
I don't have no statement, no argument, because I'm already here. I'm already there.
Okay, Queen.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so very, very much for giving us a call in, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll see you next time on Shabaka's Black Experience.
Bye-bye.